Yeah, but I... The Senate will please come to order. The clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Przonsky, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. And Senator, he's not here. Senator Morris will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Today's invocation, the Reverend Margaret McNurin, and she is from the Prince of Peace Episcopal Church here in Salem.
Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, fount of wisdom, we ask you to bless these elected senators. Grant that through their discussion and decisions, they may solve our problems effectively, enhance the well-being of our state, and achieve together a fairer and more united society. Help them to make and keep this state a home for all of its different people. Grant this Senate imagination, skill, and energy, that there may grow among them a sense of justice and peace. Grant them a vision, O God, to see what they can achieve, to reach beyond themselves, to share with others, to stretch their capabilities, to increase their sense of purpose, to be aware of where they can help, to be sensitive to your presence and give heed to your constant call. Extend their vision and clearness of sight. Open their eyes to see beyond the obvious, to perceive what is in your world and their work to do in it. In God's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend McMurrin, for your invocation. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Oregon Senate to you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator Frank Morris, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. My fellow state senators, in order to meet the deadline established by the Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 2 for sine die adjournment, no later than June 30th, 2009, critical measures will reach the Senate floor for final consideration over the next several weeks. Attendance by all members of the Senate at daily Senate floor sessions is crucial. Therefore, for Senate floor sessions beginning Monday, May 25th, excused absences will be granted only in the case of illness or family emergency. Also, please be prepared for the possibility of Saturday floor sessions starting May 30th. Thank you, my fellow senators, for allowing me to put that on the record. Madeline Odegaard, Sean McKinnon, and Angela Moore are the honorary pages, and they are the guests of Senator Rosenbaum. Ashley Chin is the guest of Senator Starr. Vanessa Chisholm is the guest of Senator Richard Devlin. Brittany Stone is the guest of Senator Boquist. These are the honorary pages here today, and we're pleased that you are here. The pages allow us to do our work not only on the Senate floor, but also throughout the day. So to each and every one of you, thank you for being here. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. It's an honor and a privilege to have each of you here today. We hope you have a great day. This is your state capitol. This is your government center for the state government of Oregon. Courtesies of the Senate. Recognize Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd ask that the Senate extend courtesies to the 4th and 5th grade class of St. Gems Elementary School from McMinnville, who are in the gallery to your front. Thank you, Mr. President.
St. what again?
St. James.
St. James, 4th and 5th, McMinnville. Where are they, the back? Okay, thank you very much, St. James, 4th and 5th graders, for coming to us from McMinnville. We hope you have a great day. Thank you, Senator Boquist, for bringing their attention. This is your state capitol. Hope you'll stay with us today and watch some of our deliberations on the Senate floor. Thank you very much for coming. Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's my honor today to introduce a leadership class from Hermiston, Oregon, part of my district. There's about 20 of them. At my desk, I have Donna Bellinger. And sitting over the side aisle is Chris Kane. Where are you, Chris? Someplace over there, right there. And then there's a group of folks right up here. There's probably 18 or 20 of them. And I've given you a list of their names, Mr. President. This is really a great organization, and they come down every 2 years and visit Representative Jensen and myself. And today their issue is they want us to use more water out of the Columbia River. Can you believe that, Mr. President? I would ask that courtesies be extended to these folks from Hermiston, the leadership class. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dave Nelson, to the leadership Hermiston class that's here. Thank you very much for coming. It's an honor and privilege to have individuals come to us, particularly from Eastern Oregon. Is that right, Senator Nelson? I can call it Eastern Oregon. I don't want to make a mistake and call it Central Oregon. I get myself in deep trouble. So you've come a long way. Thank you. Hermiston's a great place. We're going to go out to Pendleton here at the 25th to have a little public hearing on our budgets. So for those of us who are afraid to fly, we might be driving through Hermiston, around Hermiston on our way. I'm one of them. So thank you very much for coming here today to your state capitol. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the state Senate to each and every one of you. Senator Frank Morris.
Mr. President, I would ask that you extend courtesies to two of your good friends, our mutual friends, Doris Schneider, who is seated at your desk, and Nadine Wood, her daughter, who is a good friend of mine in Albany. I'm sure the members realize, Mr. President, that you have run the Hood to Coast race for at least 15 years. And my guest today, your guest, Mr. President, have a unique connection in that Nadine runs on Peter's Hood to Coast team, and Doris has long provided a place for the team to recoup after the first leg of the relay. Mr. President, I know this race is important to you. You've been a big part of it, and would like for you to extend courtesies to Doris Snyder and Nadine Wood this morning. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Yes, Nadine Wood does run on my Hood to Coast team, and she's from the greater Albany area. She and her husband work, they live there with their two children, and a long-time thing. Her mother, Doris, is sitting at my desk. Very happy you could come too, Doris. I'd like to extend a courtesy to send it to you. Doris is also a nurse, and that's part of helping me when I run my first leg. To any of you that may be interested, we really do not recoup in our house. I'm as in much pain when I leave the house as when I get there, but at least they do try to take care of my old body, and it's really a miserable experience. But we all have to be miserable in life some part of the time. So I do thank Nadine's mother, Doris, who does not show me much respect when I do stay at her wonderful house, where she and her husband, I think, raised five daughters, or was it four? Five. It's four daughters. Well, I was off by one. And one of the daughters was, of course, Nadine in the back. So thank you, Nadine and Doris. I've long wanted them to come to the capital, their capital. I've long wanted them to come to the Senate. Today is the day. So it's really an emotional thing to see both of them on the floor at the same time. Thank you very much for coming. Hope you have a good day. I recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Courtesies, please, today for my guest, Paul Young, the author of The Shack. You'll be hearing more about that in a little bit. Mr. Young is also a fellow alumnus of Warner Pacific College. And on the side aisle, his wife, Kim, and Mr. Scott Klosner, who brought them down to the Senate today and who is escorting them around the Capitol. Please give courtesies to all of these folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Monroe. Paul, Kim, Scott, thank you for coming to the Capitol. Hope you have a good day. I like the name Paul. It's a good name, Peter and Paul. That's the reason I like it. I like the name Peter better than Paul, but there's been a lot said about Peter and Paul. So as soon as he said Paul, I liked you. So I hope you have a good day in your state capital. I'd like to extend the courtesy to send it to you. And, I hope you like the name Peter, too. So are there further courtesies? Remonstrances? Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. On your desk, I gave a history of the public purpose charge in the state of Oregon. And I really want you to take a look at this, if you could. This is a program that I talked about yesterday on the floor that talks about a program that has grown by 480% in the last 8 years. And this program, the information I gave you is actually incorrect. Rather than growing from $30 million to $125 million, the fund has actually grown to $150 million that have gone to the Energy Trust of Oregon. My staff has done research, and in the 8 years, over $85 million has gone to out-of-state consultants. Over $90 million of ratepayer dollars have gone to out-of-state corporations. Folks, this is the reason why we don't have credibility with the taxpayers of the state of Oregon. When we have a program that grows by 480%, and yet we transfer those dollars to out-of-state consultants and out-of-state corporations, and the public doesn't see any benefit, that's the reason why we have a problem. I urge you to take a look at this spreadsheet I gave you to give you an idea of some of the funds hidden in our other funds budgets that are available for us to help schools and local governments with their energy conservation programs. So I urge you to take a look at the packet I've left on your desk and tell me that we can't find the money in the budget to take care of the core functions of our state government. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Walker.
Oh, thank you, Mr. President. I have to respond to that. The good senator from Sherwood, I'm happy to share with you a Legislative Council opinion from 2003 that indicates that you cannot take money from the Energy Trust. But trust me, in Senate Bill 80 this session, we'll put some parameters around the Energy Trust. But you can't take the money, and I'd be glad to share that council opinion with you. Thank you.
Recognize Senator Burdick, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, could I please have your attention? There have been a number of comments made to me about difficulty reporting the number of steps you took last week for Public Health Week, and it would be terrible if you didn't get credit for all the steps you took. So please, my staff person, Caitlin Cushing, will take just report to her or even give the pedometer to her, whatever is most convenient to you, and she will take care of getting your steps reported so that we can show that the legislature is fit and successful for Public Health Week. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Message from the House.
Mr. President, I'm speaking from the House. It's passed Senate Bill 163, House Bill 2227, HCR 6. Speaker has signed Senate Bill 189, 213, and 311, and SGM 3.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report number 65, which distributed to members today, this information will be recorded in the journal and the status report, and it is so ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Action on executive appointments that require Senate confirmation. Introduction to first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 973, Lincoln Life Insurance.
Transmitted, have you read it? But transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
SGR 34, claiming legislative fiscal office for 50 years of service. Senate Bill 536, relating Federal Real ID Act of 2005.
He's a pass the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin. Is that it? All right.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our intent was to do SCR 7 first and then to caucus.
Senator Farioli, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you.
Thank you. The clerk will read the bill.
SCR 7, commemorating William Paul Young for success of the author of The Shack.
Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. It gives me a great deal of pleasure to carry Senate Concurrent Resolution 7 today. I've already introduced Mr. Young and his infamous book that has sold more than 7 million copies already. It's been published in 12 different languages, and it's been the bestseller for 46 straight weeks. So it's a pretty renowned book. It is set in Oregon, in the Columbia River Gorge, Multnomah Falls, the Wallowa Mountains, Wallowa Lake, Joseph, and so on. And it's very likely that it will soon be made into a movie, and I've talked to Mr. Young about making sure that the movie is filmed on site where the book is written in Oregon. This book has had a tremendous effect on a lot of people who've read it, people who have had pain in their lives, people who've been parents of sexually abused children or murdered children, get a tremendous amount of, I won't say pleasure, but solace from this book, people that are in need of healing. So it gives me a great deal of pleasure today to ask for the unanimous support for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 7. Oh, and I wanted to add, this book also meant a lot to my colleague, Senator Jason Akeson, when he was recovering from his near-fatal accident. He was able to read this book during that time of recovery, and it meant a great deal to him. So please vote aye.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I will speak just briefly. I'm one of those millions of people that was greatly affected by this book, and I highly recommend it. As a certifiable book nerd, I will tell you that the writing style is very contagious. It reads very fast. It's very emotional in how how it's written. The message of the book, though, is overwhelming. As I was just telling, I'm a bit starstruck with the author, so I'm excited. I told Senator Monroe I would not vote for this unless I got a signature. That was just joking. The message of the book is very, it's not what you would expect. It's a book really that talks about the struggles of life And there is a, I don't even know the author, but I'm sure there's a thread of truth that weaves through this. And the fact that it takes place in a part of Oregon that I know intimately, and I'm sure Senator Nelson knows intimately, and Senator Farioli knows intimately, and there's various other senators that know this area where the book takes place, I think it takes on a very significant meaning for us being here in Oregon. I would also say that it should take a particular particular meaning for women who read this book. And that's all I'll say, because I don't want to give it away. I think Monroe's almost already given it all away. But it's a brilliant book, and I'm just absolutely thrilled that we get to do this. And I would urge all of you not only to vote aye, but to read it yourself. I think you'll one of those touchstone books that will leave you changed.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Further discussion? Senator Monroe, do you wish to close?
Just very briefly, I would offer each one of you the opportunity to come and meet Mr. Young while he's at my desk or with Senator Atkinson in a few minutes. So if you get a chance, come by and say hello. Thank you.
Question now rises upon a third reading, the final passage of SCR 7. Those in opinion of the bill shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dinkfelder. Dinkfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Von Zenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr.
And a star? Go on.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Not answering. Starr.
Senator Starr.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Absent. Starr. 28 ayes.
SCR 7. Have received. Senator Starr, how do you vote? Senator Starr votes aye. Better note it for the record. Excuse me. SCR 7, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Recognize Senator Farioli.
Likewise, Mr. President, Republicans will caucus upstairs for 15 minutes.
The Senate will be in recess until 5 minutes to 11 by the clock on the back, 10:55 a.m. by the clock on the back. Senate stands in recess. Senator, will please come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
We're not alone. The other thing, though, is I want to know taxes.
Yeah, I'm working on that one. I'll have to try this afternoon.
The quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of third reading of Senate measures and will resume under messages from the House. So ordered.
Mr. President, the people informing the House has passed Senate Bill 30.
Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
SGR 30, expressing support for Oregon Progress Board and developing Oregon Shines 3.
Recognize Senator Morris. Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, SGR 30 comes from the Education and General Government Committee with a unanimous recommendation. I might give you some background with respect to the Progress Board. In 1989, the governor and the legislature launched a trailblazing effort that yielded a high-level strategic plan called Oregon Shines, companion indicators called Oregon Benchmarks, and an independent Progress Board to track progress and keep the plan current. For two decades, Oregon Shines and the Benchmarks have offered Oregonians a societal framework for working together on the big goals we all strive for. In 1997, the board completed the first update of the plan. Oregon Shines 2 articulates three interconnected goals to advance our state's economic, social, and environmental well-being. The first, quality jobs for all Oregonians. The second, engaged, caring, and safe communities. And the third, healthy, sustainable surroundings. Oregon's 91, and we have 91 benchmarks, provide a lens to our overall progress. And this is good news. The bad news is that we're not where we would like to be when we set in motion 20 years ago the original Oregon Shines. The 2009 benchmark highlights report tells us, for example, that although we are making progress in a few areas, Oregon's per capita average income continues to decline compared to the national average. Our state is once again one of the hungriest in the nation, and nearly a third of our eighth graders cannot read at grade level, and worse for students of color. We have learned that our systems and structures are not designed to achieve the results we seek, and therein lies the purpose of the Progress Board. And what this bill does, it establishes a connection between the Progress Board and the legislature, and it's absolutely essential that the legislature own this process. Colleagues, I ask for not just an aye vote, but a recognition that the legislature does in fact need to own and value Oregon Shines 3 and use the benchmark data as a guide to make better informed policy decisions. And colleagues, you need to know that I serve as a member of the Oregon Progress Board, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Further discussion? Of course, now rise upon the third reading and final passage of SJR 30. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Lons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Ferrioli.
Senator Ferrioli.
Not answering. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Voting no. Ferrioli. Winters. 28 ayes.
You sure? SJR 30, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Memorial 1, urging Congress to pass legislation directing federal agency to establish accurate measure of poverty for determination of eligibility for federal programs.
Recognize Senator Carter. Excuse me, Senator H. Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise? Wait a minute, let's just see what's going on here.
Return the order of courtesies.
Okay, Senator Carter, could you just stand down for a bit and we'll try this? Or do you want to let us go through with this and can we come back to it afterwards?
That's fine.
All right, Senator Carter, proceed. I'm sorry. We'll get this right. Fine, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator, I was just teasing with you. You know that. Colleagues, Senate Memorial 1 comes to you on a unanimous approval vote from the committee. It asks Congress for an update of the criteria for the measures of poverty. These standards have not been reviewed, in 45 years, and it reflects the needs and patterns of a very different era than what you and I are living in today. Housing costs, as you know, have soared. The cost of medical care has skyrocketed. Our understanding of nutritional needs has changed. That is evidenced, Mr. President, by what is happening in our general fund budget as well as in the Oregon Health Plan. So many diseases are affecting people in terms of diabetes. And many of us have not realized, and you will realize as of this coming Thursday, how much the budget needs have changed in this state. And so now more people are in poverty than ever before. We now have an epidemic in obesity and diabetes that is costing us billions. And yes, that is right, B as in billions. The current calculation is based on the nutritional research from 1955. And the base formula is the work of one individual from the Social Security Administration using a figure of $3,100 in earned income in 1963 for a family of four. with a stay-at-home mother cooking in the kitchen all day, watching the kids adjusted for inflation. We are now finding two families, households that are working and yet are in poverty. These days are not the good old days. Currently, a subcommittee of the U.S. House of Representatives Ways and Means Committee is considering introduction of bipartisan legislation to have the census come forward with up-to-date poverty statistics. As you've heard, as a result of Monday, there is a 12.1% increase in unemployment in the state, and some of our counties are as high as 21%. The National Conference of U.S. Mayors has also called for an update. President Obama can also direct the Federal Office of Budget and Management to update the criteria. Numerous programs such as food stamps, school lunch, supplemental nutrition for women, infants, and children, weatherization, Head Start, energy assistance, state children's health insurance, community block grants, and yes, the Job Corps, are all tied directly to the federal government's measurement of what constitutes poverty. I urge your support of this modest measure. With unemployment being where it is and predicted to continue to rise, we need to have to update statistics and calculations of what is really happening in our state and what folks are really experiencing, the needs of everyday life, reflecting accurately and honestly these challenging times. Thank you very much, colleagues, and I urge and I vote on the Senate Memorial 1.
Thank you, Senator Carter. Further discussion? Question on the right upon third reading, the final passage of SM 1. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters.
Chuck Burdick.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
SM1, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 5507, the Pension Administration and State Board of Chiropractic Examiners, declared an emergency.
I recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Excuse me, stop.
I made a mistake. Senator Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise? I forgot. He wants to do a courtesy. I know it.
Return to the order of courtesies, Mr. President.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
I will yield to Senator Carter, but I cannot do so to Senator Monroe. Seated with me, Mr. President, is a great friend of mine who is a Oregon State graduate, a former helicopter pilot in the Navy. We met in graduate school, and now he is changing the world of finance temporarily out of state. But, Mr. President, would you please welcome and give courtesies to John Gearhart, who is my floor guest.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. John, thanks for being here and being patient enough, long enough to allow me to get to you. I'd like the standard courtesy to send it to you. I will not fly in a helicopter. I will not do that. Yes, I'll bet. So, anyway, I'm glad you graduated from Oregon State University. I wish you'd come back to the state of Oregon. We need all the help we can get in finance right now. Maybe you will. But anyway, I'm sure you're good wherever you're at, and it's an honor and privilege to have you here. Thank you very much. Well, now we turn to the regular order of business, which is the third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will again, I will now recognize Senator Rod Monroe, who will proceed to carry Senate Bill 5507.
Thank you, Mr. President. You're going to be hearing a lot from me in the next few minutes. This is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The Board of Chiropractic Examiners regulates doctors of chiropractic, certified chiropractic assistants, and they do this through examination, through licensing, and when appropriate, through discipline. The 7-member board is appointed by the governor, includes 5 chiropractors and 2 public members. This is a health board for the purpose of maintaining public safety and health for those people that use chiropractors. Your subcommittee recommended that the amount of the budget be cut to $1,295,000, 5 positions, 4 FTE. denied Policy Package 102, which is an increase in the board's per diem, pending another bill that may or may not pass. This budget passed out of your Ways and Means Committee unanimously on a 19-0 vote with three excused. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Monroe. Discussion. Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5507. Those opinion the bill shall pass will say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will please call the roll.
Girard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 23 ayes.
Senate Bill 5507, Emerson Custom Judge, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5509, Relief Financial Administration, State Board of Clinical Social Workers, and Court Emergency.
I got aye, Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 5508 is the budget bill for the Board of Clinical Social Workers. The Board of Clinical Social Workers voluntarily are licensed so that they can use the term licensed clinical social worker. You can be a social worker in the state without being so licensed, but you cannot then use that term. The board is responsible for developing and enforcing ethical standards for those individuals who choose to be licensed. The board also investigates complaints, and there have been many, and disciplines licensed individuals when necessary. It's a 7-member board. It includes 4 licensed clinical social workers and 3 public members. It's an other funds budget of nearly $1 million, $978,911, with 4.5 FTE. The increase that was granted, about 12% for the next biennia over the past, is to add a compliance specialist 2 position as a limited duration position. So therefore, there is a small fee increase. The fee increase was approved by the e-board last June, and your subcommittee and the full Ways and Means Committee have simply made it permanent. There is also a companion bill, 5509, that comes up next that ratifies the fee increases. Once again, this agency is for the public health and safety, and it passed out of your Ways and Means Committee on a vote of 19-1.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Go down and behave yourself. Go down there and make it. Senator Bates has demanded a call of the Senate. He is joined by Senator Burdick and Senator Rosenbaum. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
All members subject to the call are present. The question now rises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 5508. Those defend your bills to pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Pass. Johnson. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Sir Devlin.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer. 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 5508, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 5509, relief pension administration and State Board of Clinical Social Workers and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. 5509 is the companion fee bill to the one that was just passed. I might want to mention that the clinical social workers were polled as to this fee bill, and they support it because they want to make sure that their board, the Oregon Board of Clinical Social Workers, has the necessary wherewithal to do its job in licensing individuals, in investigating complaints, in disciplining when necessary, and in protecting the safety of the public. This bill passed out of your full Ways and Means Committee with a vote of 19-1.
Thank you, Senator Monroe. Question now rises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 5509. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Morse.
Senator Morse.
Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker.
Senator Walker.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Senator Bates.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Cruz. Morse. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 5509, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Przonski, what purpose your ayes?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Mr. President, I'm voting for this bill, Senate Bill 5509, because the professionals that are licensed under this board have, in fact, asked for this increase because they realize for the public health and safety, it's important for the board to be able to function. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Clerk, I'll read the bill.
Senate Bill 5515, Relief Pension Administration, order more licensed professional counselors and therapists in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the budget for the Oregon Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists. These folks work in schools, do marriage counseling, and so forth. This board of licensed professional counselors is a seven-member board with three-year terms. It is an other funds budget of $838,110 with four positions, three FTE. Subcommittee denied a package for an increase in licensing fees and a package for establishing one new administrative support person, a half-time person that they had asked for. We did approve a limited duration investigator because we found that this board was way behind in investigating problems. Once again, this board is necessary to the health and safety of our citizens. You all know, you've all heard stories about counselors that were not properly licensed and not ethical in their behavior. That's why we need this board. This board passed your Committee on Ways and Means with a unanimous vote, and, ladies and gentlemen, includes no fee increases.
Further discussion? The question now arises upon a third reading and final passage. That's Senate Bill 5515. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett. 22 ayes.
Senator Starr, do you have anything to say at this time?
Vote explanation.
Well, let's go. I'm going to, first of all, declare it passed. Senate Bill 5515, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Senator Starr, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted no on this particular budget, not because the work of the industry or the individuals that are regulated by this budget, but because, Mr. President, we look at this budget and it's a 25% increase. We look at a number of double-digit increases in these budgets coming forward. This looks to me as business as usual inside the building. It's not business as usual outside the building. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Floyd Pazansky. What purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Mr. President, I voted for this bill because, again, the profession that is regulated by this board has decided that they need it to increase their fees so they can, in fact, make certain that they have public health, public safety taken care of, and those who shouldn't be practicing that need to be weeded out have an opportunity to be so through the board actions that are necessary to regulate the professional counselors and therapists, and again, because they asked for the fee increase. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Pazansky. Clerk will read the bill, please.
Senate Bill 5516, Lafayette Administration, order more density and court emergency.
Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the Oregon Board of Dentistry budget. The board regulates the practice of dentistry, dental hygienists, and they conduct their business through examination, through licensing, and through, when necessary, disciplinary measures. The board also regulates the administration of anesthesia in dental offices and determines dental procedures that may be delegated to dental assistants. The board establishes standards for training and certification of dental assistants. It's a 9-member board, 6 dentists, 2 dental hygienists, 1 public member, total budget of about $2.25 million, 7 FTE. There is a fee bill attached. One of the main reasons for the fee increase is to pay the FBI for doing background checks to make sure that we don't have dentists sneaking into our state that have been involved in illicit, criminal, or unethical activities in other states. I would urge, it passed the Ways and Means Committee on a vote of 16-3.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. On both this bill, Senate Bill 5516 and Senate Bill 5517, I have to declare a potential conflict. I drill, fill, and bill. I am a licensed dentist.
Your conflict is noted on the record. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict of interest for the record.
My wife is a dental hygienist. It would be covered by this bill. Now to the bill.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted. Now speak to the bill, please.
Even though my wife's a dental hygienist, I'm still voting no. An 18% increase when we have 12.1% unemployment is ridiculous.
Is there further discussion? You wish to close, Senator Monroe?
Only to note that the dentists of this state were polled, and they support the fee increases that I will be describing in the next bill, 5517.
All right, so now I find a third reading, the final passage. It's got, wait a minute. Senator Devlin?
Thank you, Mr. President. Just for safety's sake, I will do a call of the Senate.
Senator Devlin is the man to call the Senate. He is joined by Senator Burdick and Senator Rosenbaum. Doorkeepers will bar the doors and sergeant's arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
He is here. All those subject to the call are present. The question now arises upon a third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 5516. So the opinion bills are passed, say aye. The names called, those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger.
Senator Metzger.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici.
Senator Bonamici.
Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 19 ayes.
A Senate Bill 5516, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Senator Brzezinski, what purpose do you rise?
A vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Mr. President, I supported Senate Bill 5516 for the reasons already stated on the other bills. This is one that had been requested by the industry, the professionals, as it states. The intent of the increase in the fee is for applicants to pay for the background check ran by the FBI so they can make sure that they meet the standards and qualities to make certain that we have public health and safety within this field. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I recognize Senator Jeff Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, on this bill, I could have chosen to stand on each one, but I'm not. I'm going to do it kind of as a group. These are all double-digit increases at a time when the state is in double-digit unemployment and growing over time. Whether the money comes from a tax or from a fee, it's still money from the people. And I don't have total faith, Mr. President, in the association saying they support it. I go back to the recording fee bill that the realtors supported, and I talked to all of my realtors locally. They didn't even know about it. So just because the association says they support it doesn't mean the membership does. And colleagues, other fund budgets are still money taken from the pockets of Oregonians.
Thank you. In the gallery are 20 students from a high school in Stuttgart, Germany. The high school has been bringing students to Salem to visit our capital for 9 years. Their leader is Manfred Pfeiffer. I'd like to welcome all the students from Stuttgart, Germany, from coming to the state of Oregon and to the state of Oregon capital. It's an honor and privilege to have you here. I've never been to Germany. I must get there one day. So I hope you like our great state. It's an honor that you're here. So enjoy Oregon. Welcome to Oregon. Thank you very much. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5517, Relief and Pension Administration Working Board Necessary and Quite Emergency.
Recognize Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm multitasking this morning. This is the fee bill, and there are minor fee increases at virtually every level to support the Oregon Board of Dentistry. The total of all of the fees will bring in an additional $156,700 in revenue out of a total budget of more than $2.5 million. It's a very small percentage. The dentists and the dental board say that they need this to protect the public health and safety. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson, please.
Potential conflict of interest, Mr. President.
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
Mr. President, my wife is a dental hygienist.
Your potential conflict of interest has been noted for the record.
And I'm still voting no. Thank you.
Further discussion? The question now arises, Senator Girard, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've been told I have to do this prior to the bill, so again, I'll state the potential conflict.
Please state your potential conflict of interest for the record?
I'm a licensed dentist.
Your conflict of interest. Senator Laurie Montes Anderson.
I'd like to state a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
My brother's a dentist.
Senator Carter, you have something to say to us? Senator Carter?
Oh, sir? Oh, no.
Okay. Question now arises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5517. Those opinion of bills blast say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Przanski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
No.
Telfer.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
George.
Senator George.
Girard.
No.
Hass.
Senator
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, 19 ayes.
Senate Bill 5517, Embassy to Council Majority, declared passed. Recognize Senator Floyd Przanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Vote explanation.
Please state your vote explanation for the record.
Mr. President, I voted for Senate Bill 5517 because as requested by the industry, this additional revenue that's going to be generated from these fees will in fact pay for FBI criminal background checks and subscriptions to the National Healthcare Practitioner Database that will automatically notify the board that if one of their licensees is subject to an official action in another state. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Przanski. Recognize Senator Boquist.
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please state your vote explanation for the record.
Thank you. For the record, I voted no on this bill. According to the Legislative Fiscal Office, there will be $376,682 in ending balance at the end of June of this year. And in discussions with dentists in my district, not members of an organization or a lobbyist group, they determined they could live within their means like common Oregonians. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Chris Telfer, please. Do not wish to speak. All right. Should we go on now? And you read the bill? Would you please read the bill?
Senate Bill 5538, by the Financial Administration and State Board of College Examiners, Inquiry Emergency.
We recognize Senator Rob Monroe for one more time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I'm getting a workout. This is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Psychologists Examiners. The Board of Psychologist Examiners is responsible for licensure and regulation of the practice of psychology in Oregon. It's a seven-member board appointed by the governor. The Ways and Means Committee approved an other funds budget of a little over $1 million with four FTE. The reason for the, we looked at some of the following packages that were being requested. And one of the ones that they asked for was to be able to do a jurisprudence exam, a written exam. They've been using oral exams up until recently, and they believe that a written exam would be more objective, shall we say. So they have to have some money to prepare that exam, the exam questions, and so on. We granted them a one-time only $10,000 to do that. We also granted one limited duration office specialist so they could catch up. They're way behind in their work. They haven't had an increase in a long time. They're getting way behind. And psychologists are not all as ethical as we would hope. And so this board is necessary to keep them in line. Without the increased licensing fees, they will not be able to do their job. We denied the following packages. We denied a reclassification of an investigator position, and we denied the package for replacement of technology and development of business continuity. We denied the package to increase the size of the board by 2 members. This measure passed your Ways and Means Committee on a vote of 14-5.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5538. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Monroe.
Monroe.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger.
Berger.
Walker. Whitsett.
Senator Whitsett.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder.
Rule suspension.
Dingfelder.
Mm-hmm.
Ferrioli.
No.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Cruz. Morse. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Winters. And Gerard. 18 ayes.
Senate Bill 5538, those have received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 5546, on the Financial Administration and State Board of Tax Practitioners, calling emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, hopefully April 15th, when it comes tomorrow, that everybody will see the wisdom and vote aye on this bill. This Senate Bill 5546 is a budget bill for the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners. The Board of Tax Practitioners is a consumer protection licensing board that oversees individuals and businesses who prepare personal tax income tax returns for others. Tax firms and their branch offices are also registered by the board. The committee approved an other funds budget of $1,066,466 and 4 positions. For FTE. The legislative approved budget is a 1% decrease from the 2007-09 legislative approved budget. This reduction reflects the elimination of an office specialist 2 position and the addition of limitation for temporary help during the busy license renewal periods. The subcommittee approved the agency's performance measures. Your joint committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5546.
Thank you, Senator Winters. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to comment on this budget because I made the comments in full. I support the bill, but I have concerns about this board, and I met with the executive director this morning. Their KPMs, their key performance measures, are abysmal in certain areas, one in timeliness of responding to complaints. And they also have a high number of complaints among tax practitioners. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why their target is 9,800 a year. That's far too many complaints in my world. worldview. So I'm going to continue to work with the board to make sure they are successful at what they do, because I had personal experience through my homeowners association with one of their members. So on that, I will declare a potential conflict of interest simply because I've had dealings with this on a personal level. So with that, Mr. President, I will support the bill.
Thank you, Senator Walker. I recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a certified public accountant, I am regulated by the Board of Accountancy, not the Board of Tax Practitioners. But I will say that I do spend my weekends going home and working, such as last weekend, 30 hours preparing tax returns for individuals. And what I would say is that the tax preparation numbers are down. People are doing them on their own these days with the economy as it is. And we all would love to just raise our rates to be able to compensate for the lost revenue and therefore maintain employment and other operating expenses. Unlike the state of Oregon, we are not a monopoly, and so we don't. We're not able to do that, and we don't want to pass on additional costs to our clients. I'm urging a yes vote on this bill, mostly because it shows a reduction in bureaucracy. And I think as a tax preparer and business owner, we're reducing our operating expenses. And so I would encourage you to recognize the fact that this is a reduction and applaud it.
Thank you, Senator Tell. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
To the bill, Mr. President.
To the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, similar to the good senator to my left, I had looked over this budget in my preparation here and was pretty much prepared to vote yes as a sign of thanks to the agency, to the board. However, in light of the good senator from Eugene's discussions and discussions earlier, I went to my office and got one of the LFO documents and then realized that this agency will have $350,452 in remaining funds balance here in the next couple of months, which is about 31 or 32% of their entire budget. So in light of the good senator from Eugene's comments and my discovery here, I will be a no vote on this bill.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Winters. Do you wish to close? Senator Winters, do you wish to close? Senator Winters, do you wish to close?
No, Mr. President.
Okay. Question now arises upon a third reading. The final passage of Senate Bill 5546. Those the opinion bills to pass say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters. Winters.
Senator Winters.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Yes.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
Juanes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Cruz, 27 ayes.
The Senate Bill 5546, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. My fellow senators, when we get through the next two bills, please do not leave the floor. We are going to take up a special of order of business on the propositions and motions. We will need to suspend the rules to do that. It's Senate Bill 30. Senate Bill 30 was just passed this morning on the House floor by a 59-0 vote. There will be a motion to concur, so please do not leave the chamber until we take up that matter. It's my understanding the two caucus leaders, Senator Devlin and Senator Fairley, have been working on this. And in case you didn't know it, that's what we do plan to do. So please stick with us if you would. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 102, relating to solid fuel burning devices.
Recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 102 is an important measure to protect public health by speeding our conversion from old polluting wood stoves to new certified wood stoves that are much cleaner. 20 years after wood stove certification began, we still have over 150,000 uncertified stoves in Oregon homes, and that's a very long time. These older stoves are the primary reason that the air is unhealthy to breathe during the winter in Klamath Falls and Oak Ridge. Both of these communities are in violation of federal air quality standards and are counting on this bill to bring their air back into compliance. People living in more than a dozen other Oregon cities are at risk as well from elevated air pollution related to old wood stoves. Prineville, Burns, Lakeview, Medford, Eugene, and Portland. We need to lower air pollution in these areas so that we do not become non-compliant with the Federal Clean Air Act. That's why I introduced this bill in 2007, Senate Bill 338. We called it the Heat Smart Bill. This session, the governor beat me to the punch and included it in DEQ's budget, and they came forward with the bill, but I'm certainly there working on it. The need here is to speed up the transfer of these uncertified wood stoves with new wood stoves, close loopholes, and clean up the certification program. The main feature of this bill, require removal of uncertified wood stoves when a home is sold. You are not required to replace it until your home is sold. At the normal rate of home sales, once our economy recovers, of course, it will take about 10 years until nearly all of the 150,000 stoves are replaced. The provision is modeled after successful local government programs and has the full support of the Oregon Realtors and the Oregon Hearth Products Association, which helps homeowners remove and replace old stoves. In fact, I will tell you, in your office, you should have received an invitation to the Renewable Heating Symposium on April 15th, right here at the Salem Convention Center, and the Oregon Hearth, Patio, and Barbecue Association wrote about this bill and said they support it, and they will show you what the new clean-burning stoves are using biomass of wood and of pellets. So then the bill also closes loopholes, as I indicated, against look-alike new stoves who want to avoid certification. Yes, there are people who do things like that. It ensures that certification standards are updated and prevents burning of toxic materials in wood stoves and fireplaces. Due to the economy and the budget situation, we dropped a state grant program that was included in my version of the bill last session. However, we are so fortunate. The state of Alaska didn't use all their EPA Region 10 money. They turned it back to the Environmental Protection Agency, who then redistributed it to the other states in Region 10, and Oregon snagged a whopping $150,000 from the Region 10 money. We will be using it to provide low-income grants to the two non-attaining communities of Klamath Falls and Oak Ridge to replace their wood stoves. We are also hoping for additional federal money in the stimulus package that will assist us with meeting clean air standards. There is no fiscal impact associated with this bill. DEQ believes existing staff can develop the rules, followed by community and realtor outreach. Currently, the staff person they have on staff works with individual communities to develop local wood stove ordinances and conduct wood stove changeouts. This statewide effort will bring much more efficiency into the program. So, colleagues, with that, I urge you to support Senate Bill 102, Heat Smart for Clean Air. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Discussion? Question now rise upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 102. Recognize Senator Doug Whitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question of the carrier, please.
Would the carrier yield to a question?
I will.
Carrier will.
Thank you. How much is the grant available for Klamath Falls?
Mr. President and Senator, it is $150,000 for the two communities combined, Oak Ridge and Klamath Falls. DEQ has not determined how much for either community at this point, but it's $150,000 total.
The second question, please.
Would you yield to another question?
Yes.
The carryover yield.
Thank you. Senator, how much money would be provided for Prineville?
From the grants?
Yes.
Oh, Mr. President and Senator, there is no money from the grant for Prineville. The only money are for the two communities who have non-attainment status with the EPA. Additional monies that we're seeking from the federal government will go to other communities who have non-attainment, or any community in the state for that matter.
Thank you, Senator. To the bill.
To the bill.
Thank you. Mr. President, we are experiencing unemployment 20-30% in rural Oregon. Under current law, we have this wood stove police cruising the streets of Klamath Falls and Prineville and Oak Ridge and other cities, threatening and citing people for keeping their homes warm with wood stoves. That's a fact. We have these calls in our area to my home a couple times a week from people calling, some of them in tears, wondering, what are we going to do? We can't afford to heat our homes in any other manner. And yet we're being cited. We're being threatened for keeping our homes warm with a wood stove. I think this bill is, in my opinion, out of touch with the reality of rural Oregon today. I think that the grants that are being proposed are well-meaning, but a little quick math says it's about $75,000 for an area of Klamath Falls, which has approximately 60,000 residents in Klamath Falls and the suburban area. $75,000, folks, isn't going to go very far. I understand this is just for replacement wood stoves at the time that a home is sold. But until we do something constructive to improve our unemployment status in this state, to get people to work so they can afford to do things, this bill is in violation of social justice. I urge a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. It's recognized. Senator Brian Boquist, please.
To the bill, Mr. President.
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm looking at the fiscal, and I just want to call the attention for the record that according to the fiscal statement issued by Legislative Fiscal Office, the bill is not anticipated in the governor's budget. That's a direct quote. Second direct quote, DEQ indicates this bill can be implemented with existing resources. That's another quote. And then towards the bottom of the fiscal, and I quote, total one-time 2009-2000 millennium biennium expenditures to implement rulemaking and education are estimated to be $98,028 federal funds from federal Section 105 base grants. I did ask the DEQ in committee what they could spend that money for, and they said it was for wood stove changeouts only. So I guess we're going to use wood stoves to change out rulemaking and education. I did ask in the committee, because of the guidance provided by the co-chairs of where we're probably going, is that in light of a 30% cut, could the department implement this within existing resources? As they have indicated in paragraph 3 of the fiscal statement, that they say yes, they could. And the reason they can do that is that according to Legislative Fiscal Office, the ending fund balance for the Department of Environmental Quality on June 30th of this year will be $106,134,012. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Further discussion? Senator Walker, do you wish to close?
Yes, just very briefly, Mr. President. I appreciate the comments today. I will tell you that Klamath Falls and Oak Ridge are under a federal non-attainment order. They do not meet clean air standards, and DEQ must do something to require them to come into compliance. I think offering a grant to help people change out their poorly burning wood stoves is social justice. It is helping people be able to breathe clean air. So we are doing the best that we can, and more communities are going to follow soon. So we are going to push very hard for more federal stimulus dollars to come into Oregon to help with this issue. Additionally, I will say that the dollars are for rulemaking, and they are within the existing
existing budget, and that is what is required, and the money comes from federal funds from the federal Section 105 base grant. So that does not appear to be general fund to me. I still would appreciate an aye vote on this bill, Mr. President, because I think it is a huge step in trying to make sure we have clean air for our rural communities and our urban communities who are quickly following behind.
Question on the on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 102. Those in opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 19 ayes.
The Senate Bill 102 have received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 180 relating to consolidated tax returns.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 180 comes unanimously from the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee. By way of background, current law provides that a group of corporations operating as a single business, for example, a unitary group, must file an Oregon consolidated tax return if the group files a consolidated federal tax return. That single consolidated tax return combines the income and deductions of all the corporations that make up the business. The result is that the tax law basically considers the taxable entity to be the entire business operation, even though it might be separated into several different corporations. This law helps to minimize shifting of income and expenses between related corporations in order to lower tax. Now, difficulties arise when a corporation sets up a certain type of captive entity, specifically a REIT, which is a real estate investment trust, a RIC, a regulated investment company, a RIMIC, a real estate mortgage investment conduit, or an AMC asset management company. The problems result from the fact that federal law does not require inclusion of these entities in the federal consolidated tax return. Because that is the starting point for Oregon, the entities also are not included in the Oregon consolidated return. The result is that Oregon law provides an incentive for corporations to form a captive entity that has no economic purpose but is used solely to avoid state tax. Colleagues, the purpose of this bill is to eliminate that avoidance of state tax through the use of these captive entities. And I urge an aye vote, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Morris. Further discussion? First now, I'll rise upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 180. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist,
Senator Boquist,
Burdick, Carter, Devlin,
who?
Devlin?
Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 180, having received constitutional majority, is cleared to pass. Please stay on the floor just quickly. First reading of the House measures.
HCR 6, congratulating Dave Frommeyer for his leadership. House Bill 2227 on Destination Resorts.
These are transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on the concurrence and repassage of Senate Bill 30 immediately.
Senator Richard Devlin has moved the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on the concurrence and repass of Senate Bill 30 immediately. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you've indicated earlier, the House took action on this bill earlier today by a 59-0 vote. We would like to get this to the governor's desk. People are filing SEIs as we speak.
If there is no objection, it is so ordered. Without objection, the Senate will revert to propositions and motion. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 30.
Senator Richard Devlin has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 30. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, we sent this bill over to the House. We've done a lot of work on this bill. I am very pleased that none of the caucuses in this building, either in the House or the Senate, and pleased with my work with the good Republican leader of this body, that this bill has not been politicized. The bill, as we sent it over to the House, has only had one minor change, and that minor change was actually requested by the Senate Rules Chair. As we sent it over to the House, the records of extended family names, etc., would be redacted for both of the 2 years that these statements have been filed. But the requirement would have been effective January 1st of 2010 to get rid of that requirement. What we've found since filings have been occurring is many people have not listed those names, so I have requested an amendment, and the House concurred, to basically ensure that the Ethics Commission did not proceed against anyone who has failed to provide those names. Actually, the House went even a little step farther, and permission to read that amendment, Mr. Chairman?
Without objection, please feel free to read it into the record.
Okay, the relevant section, and this will affect the filings for both last year and this year. The Oregon Government Ethics Commission may not impose a civil penalty under ORS 244.350 or take action in response to a complaint filed or proceed on its own action under our ORS 2.4260, and a person may not file a complaint under ORS 244260 against a public official or candidate because the public official or candidate did not supply the name of a relative or a member of the household of the public official or candidate on a statement of economic interest filed before January 1st, 2010. That means actually all the people that failed to file last year and put their names of their extended list of relatives can no longer actually be held liable by the Ethics Commission. It means obviously the ones that are filing this year cannot be held liable by the Ethics Commission. The House actually made it a better bill, and I urge your concurrence.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Colleagues, I have to join my colleague across the aisle in agreeing that the House amazingly made this a better bill. They actually did make it a better bill. Because not because citizens who are subject to this bill will not have to file on April 15th, which they will have to do. Let's just be very clear about this. You're going to have to fill out all the GSPC forms, the quarterly and the annual, on the 15th of April. But the redaction has been expanded by action of the House, and prosecutorial immunities have been granted, as my colleague has specified. So I believe that the bill is better. Colleagues, there's no question in my mind that when we adopted Senate Bill 10 in our last legislative session, we overreached, and it caused such a disconnection in rural Oregon that so many people who serve Oregon in the capacity of volunteer members of boards and commissions and volunteer city councilors, planning commission members resigned. This bill, I believe, solves the problem that most of them were concerned about, and that was having to list relatives regardless of the state of residency. This bill, I will remind you, also helps to define legislative and administrative interest in a way that I believe makes sense. So I'm proud to join my colleague from across the aisle, the good majority leader, in bringing a concurrence to the floor as a special order of business after a rule suspension to see this good work finished. and I hope it will serve Oregonians. And I hope that by taking this action today, it'll send a message to filers across the state of Oregon that even though they have to file, they have to fill out everything, that they will not be held criminally liable for the failure to list their relatives, and that they need to go ahead and continue their service to Oregon, which we value so highly. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Farrell. I recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Mr. President, conflict of interest.
Would you please state your possible conflict of interest to the record?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think your office is aware I'm party of legal action involving the enforcement of ethics laws. This bill will, of course, mute the legal action that I'm involved to, which, of course, is the intent anyway. Thank you, Mr. President.
Your potential conflict of interest has been noted on the record. Further discussion? Those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 30 will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Senator Metzger.
Juan Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Star. 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 30, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 91 was distributed to members April 13th. The referrals were recorded in the Journal of the State's report and is so ordered. We are not going to have a floor session on Friday. We are proceeding through the calendar very effectively. There will be no floor session here on Friday, which is April 17th. If there are further announcements, Senator Devlin, do you have announcements?
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats will not caucus today. They will caucus tomorrow. There is a meeting of the leadership group for the Senate Democrats.
Senator Farrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans will caucus. Please, Republicans, get your lunches and move forthwith to the caucus room. We have a lot of important business to cover. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. If there's no further announcements, and without objection, this Senate is adjourned until 10:15 Wednesday, April 15th.